All right, how are we doing? Okay, good. Two of us, maybe? I'll take that. It's the end of summer, and school is upon us, and all that. So anyways, okay, if you have your Bibles, grab those. If you can't tell, Psalm 23 is where we'll be this morning, Psalm 23. We are just in a series this summer where we're just walking through Psalms. We're looking at different Psalms and just asking God to just work and move in our life and in our heart and shape us and mold us. And actually, we just finished a little stint, six-week stint, of what they call in the book of Psalms, Psalm of the Ascent. And so, it was just where the people of God would gather three times a year in Jerusalem, and they would come together and they would worship, and they would go to the capital city there where the temple was, and they would be in his presence, and they would just come together and worship and be reminded. And these were psalms that they would sing, psalms that they would recite, psalms that they knew that would remind them of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness as they took that journey to Jerusalem to worship and be in his presence. And so we finish that up. I just feel like that was just, man, good for the soul, just to be reminded of, even in difficult days, dark days, hard days, that God is faithful and good. And it was just a good reminder, as I'm sure it was for the people in that day. And so the game plan now, to kind of get us through the final stretch here in summer, is the 23rd Psalm. I had planned on just doing like a little two-week stint here in the 23rd Psalm, but I believe God's kind of stirring some more stuff there. And so we're going to look at just Psalm 23 verse 1 this morning. That will be our focal text, Psalm 23:1. But we'll spend a few weeks here in Psalm 23 and just kind of tear it apart and let God do some work on us and in us. And so that's where we'll be. And so I want to do something a little different this morning. And so I know whenever I say that, it kind of brings terror to the heart of man when I do that. Nothing to worry about. I'm going to ask you if you would stand for a moment. And I just thought it would be good for us this morning in this place, corporately as the body of Christ, to stand and just say this verse, say this, these verses, the 23rd Psalm out loud. We've got six verses. So what I'll do is I'll kick us off, and as I kick us off, I'm going to kind of just fade. And I just thought it'd be cool for us as the church, as his bride, to together corporately to just, man, recite this psalm. Hopefully it's just a reminder of who God is and how faithful and good he is as we walk through this. And so like I said, so I'll start us off, and then I'll kind of just fade. And if we could, as the church, just just read this verse, this chapter aloud. And so it starts off like this. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore." Father, that's our prayer. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for this psalm. Father, we pray this morning that you would speak, that you would move, that you would work in our heart. God, remind us of the things that we need to be reminded of. Holy Spirit, fall heavy in this place. You have freedom to do whatever you see fit. Father, convict, draw, encourage, remind us. God, just do a work, I pray. I know there's heavy hearts in this room. Father, I know that. The conversations this morning. Father, just pray that you would work and do like only you can, for your glory, for our good. Shame we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I don't know. It's just, I love whenever we gather and we sing, and I can hear us over those that are leading us. Man, what that does in my heart, it just fires me up. And so to have the body together in unison recite this beautiful, beautiful psalm together. And so that'll be something we'll do for the next couple weeks. So this morning what we're going to do is this. We're just going to look at the shepherd. That's what we'll look at, is the shepherd. We're going to talk mainly about the shepherd, and we'll touch just shortly for a few minutes on on the sheep and what that means, but our focus this morning is going to be centered around this reality of what David says here as he pens this psalm, is the Lord is my shepherd. And so I believe before we really dive into and kind of like look at and talk through this, I think we need to get a better understanding around this passage is that reality of the shepherd and what that means and who just how all of that works. And so David is the one that pens Psalm 23, and who more fitting, right? David, the shepherd boy, is the one that writes this, and so he understands some things about shepherding, doesn't he? He would understand what this means. He would have a greater meaning to this word shepherd as he lived that out, as he was a shepherd. And so he would spend many a day out in the field watching over the flock. He would spend many a night in the field keeping watch over, taking care of. And so the imagery behind this psalm here, right out of the gate, the Lord is my shepherd. And I believe it's one that we miss in our day because we're not in that context. We're not in that world. Just as a show of hands, I mean, who hung out with some shepherds this week? Okay. Who has ever hung out with shepherds in their lifetime? Okay, I was just making sure. Me either. And I'm from West Virginia, right? Like if anybody would have kind of like a leg up on you, it would be me. But no shepherds in my past. No shepherds that I'm aware of or that I know. And so so as I studied and kind of dug this week and looked at this reality of what a shepherd is, what that means, it's just very, very interesting because in this day, in this time, this is one of man's earliest occupations. This is one of the earliest occupations that men had. And so they would have flocks, they would have herd, they would be over them, they would watch over them, they would care for them. This is just a prominent position in this day. And the main animal to care for would be sheep. And so just some duties of a shepherd that I found this week is that they would see the animals and that they would make sure that they had enough food and water. So they were responsible, shepherds were responsible for feeding and watering the flock. They would take care of these sheep, and they'd make sure they had food. They would make sure they would have nourishment through water, and so they would provide for them in that regard, in that way to make sure that they would grow and be nourished and have all that they would need to survive and thrive. And so they would give them food and water. Another thing that a shepherd would do is that they would guard the sheep. I mean, sheep are easy prey. I mean, I don't know about you, but like if I'm going to grow an animal to fight, I'm not going to get a sheep and like get a fighting sheep. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't see that. You don't have that. Like you look at them and you're like, oh man, they would make a good sweater, but not a good fighter. It's just like, I don't, and then there's nothing about a sheep that you just look at and you're like, ah, ferocious. Like I'm just not too worried about sheep. And so you'd have the shepherd who would have to take care of, would have to guard because the sheep would be easy prey. They would be easy to overtake. They would be easy to carry off, to be stolen. So you'd have to protect them, and that's what they would do. They would protect them from thieves, because thieves would try to come in through the night or try to come in and sneak in and take the sheep and carry them off. And so they would have to protect. These shepherds would protect the sheep, not just from prey, but from thieves and other things like that. And so they would be concerned for the condition of the flock. They were careful to make sure that the animal was not overdriven, overworked. And so they would have to take care of them. They would sometimes carry the helpless lamb in their arms or on their shoulders. So they would have to physically sometimes carry them because they would wear out. They weren't built for endurance. They weren't built to carry heavy loads. They weren't created and made for that. So the shepherd would have to make sure and kind of gauge and watch and take care of in that regard. And sometimes as they got wore out or they got tired, they would have to tend to them that way. They would keep watch at the night. Just what they would do is they would create these little enclosures, whether it be through tangled bushes, different ways like that, and they would kind of gather them together and put them close by in tight proximity to kind of be able to watch over them closer, to make sure that the weather, make sure that that animals or enemies wouldn't come in and overthrow them or take them or harm them. And so the shepherds were essential. Shepherds were important to keep the flock intact. I mean, they would often count the animals over and over and over. Why? To make sure that they hadn't lost one. They were prone to wander, prone to take off and go in places they shouldn't. They were prone to drift. And so they would watch and count and make sure. And so it's a tough job to be a shepherd. But it's a job that wasn't held in high esteem. It's not like you were raising your kid to be a shepherd, or you really wanted him to get into shepherding school so they could go shepherd well and be a shepherd. I mean, it wasn't a job that was looked upon. It's like, man, that's a great job, a great opportunity. Let's sign him up and get him hooked up in that real quick and get him going to that. It wasn't held in high esteem. They weren't prominent people in their day. It wasn't like they were celebrities, like, oh, here comes some shepherds. Let's get their audience. There was none of that. I mean, if anything, they were looked down upon. In this culture and in this context, they weren't of great stature. But that's what David does. That's the perspective he's writing from, the understanding that he is writing from. That's what he did in his family. David was a little shepherd boy. He would take care of his father's flock. He would take care and he would watch over. He would guard and protect. He would feed and nourish. And I just got to thinking this week as I thought about David and his story, and as I kind of just thumbed through in the scriptures of David, and he was the youngest of his brothers, and he would take care of. I can just remember when they were off at war, and his dad sent him to check on his brothers and take them food. And if you don't know where I'm headed to the story of David and Goliath, where there's this mighty Philistine giant out there making fun of his God, and David rolls up, checks on his brothers. And he hears this giant out there making fun of. And what does he do? He gets a little agitated, gets a little worked up about it. I mean, I don't know who he thinks he is, but he's not going to make fun of my God. Why hasn't somebody risen to the occasion and done something about this? And everybody was scared. Everybody was worried. Everybody was taken back by it. Like, do you not see his size? Do you not see how big he is? Do you not? We can't defeat him. We can't go against him. And what does David do? This little lowly shepherd boy who God had been preparing, by the way, all of these years out in the field as he watched, as he took care of the flock, right? I mean, there's stories in the scripture of David having to take care of, having to fight off bear, having to fight off lion, having to fight off these mighty animals that are fierce, not sheep, but animals that are really fierce that can take down and can defeat and can kill you. And David protects the flock. And all the while, what was God doing? God was preparing him in that training ground there out in the field, watching the sheep, getting him ready for what he had next. And David rolls in and he sees this and enough's enough. And what does he do? He rises to the occasion. And he ends up taking down this mammoth of a giant. And so it just had me thinking this week as I was reading, as I was looking. I don't know where you're at. I don't know your job. I don't know your context. I don't know your day. But you just need to know that God is working and doing. God is preparing. God is shaping. God is molding you into something that's next. He has you where he has you on purpose. He has you. So as I think about this whole thought of a shepherd being lowly and not prominent in the day, not of great importance, not or looked down or revered, I just think of, man, how amazing this story is that we're going to read and we're going to look at here in the Psalm. And how David, one that would understand and would get it, as a shepherd, he writes about the shepherd. David, a shepherd, writes about the shepherd of all shepherds. And that's what we're going to see here right out of the gate. First thing, Psalm 23:1, that's what he says. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. So now that we've got some understanding about the shepherd and what that role looks like, what that means, and then we'll see that kind of rolled out over the next few weeks, we need to understand something about this shepherd. Because as David had a story and David got to the place that he was in as a shepherd and God elevated him and used him and used his shepherding as a training ground to get him to this giant that he was going to take on and he was going to defeat, because nobody mocks his God and gets away with it. Nobody's going to make fun of his God and he's going to be okay with it. He steps up as God had been preparing and working and shaping. We need to understand something about this shepherd that he's talking about. Because as good of a shepherd David was, David fails in comparison to the shepherd of all shepherds. And so he just says that the Lord, I don't know in your Bible or what scriptures you have this morning, but in mine, the Lord is all capitalized there. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord is my shepherd. And so what that does is it lets us know in our English language something about that word and who David is referring to, who David is talking about. Because what David is saying here is what it translates into from the original language is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's God's name. It's who God is. It's Yahweh. And Yahweh in this day was the name of God. And it was a name that no one would say. They held it in reverence. They held it in high regard. It's not a name that you would say. And actually, it wasn't until later on they even added vowels into it to where it would be something that you could even say. It used to just be consonants, and it used to just be a sound that you would make, almost like a breath being taken. And what it does is it points back to who God is. And so what David is saying is that the Lord, He is my shepherd. The Lord God, the creator of the universe, the one true living God. God, the shepherd of all shepherds. That's my shepherd. The one true living God, the one that spoke the universe into creation, the one that makes and forms and fashions, the one that is like this, the one that is omniscient. That's my shepherd, the omniscient one, the creator, living God. Omniscient means that He is all-knowing. So whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever it is that you're going through right now, that God knows. God is aware. The thing in the scriptures that just blows my mind is that Jesus rolls up onto situations and circumstances. And as He rolls up, conversation begins to happen. And Jesus responds to the thoughts that people have in that moment, not even the spoken words that come out. Jesus responds to the very things that people think. I mean, why? Because He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. That's this shepherd that David's talking about. That's this shepherd that he's referring to, the living God, the only God, the omniscient one, the one that's all-knowing. Not to mention that He's powerful. And He's not just like, okay, kind of cool, powerful, can kind of make it powerful. Like, I can remember having a conversation with my middle guy one time. We're driving home from somewhere, and he's in the back seat, and he starts quizzing me. I'm like, all right, bud, what's up? He's like, God. I'm like, yep. Do you really think, and I don't know about you, but like, if you have kids, and like, they start to go to the, do you really think, and it's connected to God, okay, we're about to either have some fun here, or something's about to go down. And so he's like, Dad, do you really think that God is stronger than Superman? Oh, buddy, man, that's a great question. And I've got to be careful because I can go real theological, real doctrinal, real fast. And so I'm just like, oh, Scott, he's like 5'6". Let's just pull back for a minute. Let's just, Superman, like, because dude, I mean, like, he's, like, Superman's like the stuff, right? I mean, like faster than a speeding train. A bullet. I mean, he's more powerful. He can fly. He can make it around the world in like a second. I mean, it takes us 10 minutes to get home. I mean, that's pretty amazing, is it not? He's like, yeah, I just don't know if God's like that. I'm like, oh. I said, but He is. Well, how do you know? I said, buddy, the Bible, the scriptures tell us that. We can read stories. We know that God, we can see all the things. Can Superman speak and the world come into existence? No, but. And so I began to enter into debate with a 5-6-year-old about Superman and God. Like, he has sucked me in. Like, I am all in now. And I am doing my best to try to prove to him that no, Superman, as cool and as great as he is, which is a fictional character, but he doesn't get that, he doesn't care about that, that he is nowhere near as amazing and awesome and powerful as God. And so again, I'm like panic mode now. Like, I am driving, like I've gotten down, like I'm going like 10, white knuckling it, just like trying my best. And he's like, Dad, I'm just joking. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? No, but God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. I mean, He just speaks and there's universes. He just says and the storm ceases. I mean, that's the shepherd that David is referring to here. The only shepherd that's able to do that. As great of a shepherd as David was, or as shepherds in this day, like our God, the creator God, Yahweh, is the only one that has that kind of power. And not to mention that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere at all times. That God isn't just here meeting with us in our presence, in our midst, but that he's in other places right now on the globe. In the presence of people, his believers, his church gathering. And not just in his church, he's at ball fields right now. He's at Walmart right now. He's at the park right now. He's at the lake right now. He's at the
beach right now. He's in all of those places all the time, right now, simultaneously, not missing a beat, in control of everything, knowing everything, powerful enough to stop or do whatever he sees or deems fit to do in that moment, right now. And David says, "This is my shepherd, the one true living God that can do all things, any things, as he so deems. And there is no better shepherd out there," is what he's saying. "The Lord is my shepherd. Why would you not want him to be your shepherd?" Just with that reality in front of us, why would you not want him as your shepherd? Why would you not long for and yearn for him? I don't know about you, but I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd to shepherd me, to watch over me, to care for me. I need that in my life. Just looking at my life, knowing my tendencies, knowing what I'm capable or incapable of, I need a God that knows. I need a God that's powerful. I need a God that is with me every step that I take, every place that I go, every venture that I have. I so need that. And next week we'll break down all the more what this means and what this looks like. And so what I would say impress us this morning is this, is that you have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. Everyone out there has a shepherd. But the problem is, not everybody's shepherd is this shepherd. And maybe even this morning in this place, the shepherd that I'm talking about is not your shepherd. See, we all have a shepherd. We all have someone who looks after us, who takes care of us, who watches over us, who does a number of things for us and with us and to us. And turn over to John 10:1 real fast. John 10:1. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bible. But John 10:1, I believe, just kind of outlines for us what this looks like, what this means, what this shepherd, who he is, and all the more points to as Jesus says this in John 10:1. He says, "Truly, truly," what he's saying is, hey, this is an attention grabber. We need to get this. We need to see this. We need to pay attention. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." What he's saying is that the shepherd comes in through the gate. Anyone else that tries to enter in the fold, the sheepfold, in the gate, any other way, is not the shepherd. Let me try to put it into perspective. You in bed at 1 o'clock at night, and you hear some rustling, and you hear some banging, and you hear some breaking of glass, and you hear some, what are you doing? You know that somebody's trying to come in a way that is not right, not good, a way that that they're not supposed to come in. And what Jesus is saying is that anyone that enters in any other form or fashion but through the front door is of no good, up to no good. They're a thief and a robber. And what does a thief and a robber come to do? To take what's not theirs. To create havoc, to cause problems and issues. But look at what he says in verse 2. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Well, the shepherd walks through the door. The shepherd comes in the way he's supposed to come in. The shepherd has access to enter and to leave and to be there. Even so much so in verse 3 where it says, "To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." The gatekeeper, the one at the gate, notices and recognizes and understands who this person is trying to come through. That is the shepherd. He does have access. He can. And it gets even better. The sheep, they hear his voice. And he calls them by name, and they follow after. He leads them out, and they go with him. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing shady going on. He comes through the only way that he's supposed to. Look at verse 4. It says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It says, a stranger they will not follow, but they're going to flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. It's an unfamiliar voice that they hear. They're afraid of. They don't know what's going on. We're unfamiliar. We don't. There's no comfort in that. And then we see what he's saying here in verse 6. He says this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand it. They didn't understand what he was saying to them. And so what does Jesus do? He breaks it down so they can get it. See, he tells them the story, and he makes this reference of the shepherd and the sheep and the gate. And they don't understand it. And so he says to them in verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, And he's going to describe for them what he's talking about. He says, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the gate. I'm the one that protects. I'm the one that prevents. I'm the one that's there to keep safe, to keep all here who needs to be here and out what needs to be out. I am the door of the sheep. And he says, verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. All other shepherds that have come before Jesus, all other, anybody who's claimed to be anything has come before him and they've tried to take and to steal and to rob. In verse 9, I love it. He says this. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus says, he's the door. That's how you're saved is through the door, through the gate, him, through him. That's how you get in. That's how you find pasture. Pasture is just a reference to comfort, to peace, to rest. That's where it's found. And him being the door, the way that you come in is through faith. And he's going to break it down even further, what that means and what that looks like here in just a few minutes, or make reference to what that means for us, the significance of what he's saying. But he is the only way. He is the only way. In verse 10, he says that the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's why the thief comes. That's why somebody tries to break in the middle of the night. That's why we lock our doors, to keep out. It's the same thing in here, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know who this thief is that he's making reference to. It's the powers of darkness, right? It's Satan. It's the demons. It's the darkness of the day. It's sin and anti-God is what it is. So he comes to only steal, kill, and destroy, which are not glamorous and glorious things that we would want or long for. But he says in verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I don't know about you, but I like life. And if there's an abundantly with the life that I can have, then I want that. And what Jesus says here is that there's a way to have that. And this is not like one of those prosperity things. So just hang tight with me. We good. We're not going to go that way. You don't have to worry about that. What he's saying is that there's a way to live, and then there's a way to really live. And everybody on planet Earth is living, but not everybody on planet Earth is really living. See, those who really live are those who are found in him, who have come in through the gate. He is the good shepherd, is what he's going to tell us here in a minute. And the way to abundant life, not just life, because we're all living, but abundant life, the way to that is through the gate that only he opens. The gate that he controls. That's where abundant life is. And I'm not talking about like Lamborghinis and mansions and 10 swimming pools. I'm talking about peace and comfort and assurance. I'm talking about living and flourishing in a way that he has created and that he has made and that he has set up for things to be. That's what I'm talking about. A peace that passes all understandings, a certainty that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we belong to him and that we're his. That we can have life and have it abundantly. And it's only provided by way of the shepherd. And then there's a lot of not shepherds out there, is what he's saying, that's tried to come through, that's tried to come in, that's tried to knock down the gate, that's tried to get us to follow him. And a lot of us have followed not shepherds a lot. And there are people right now in this world that follow some not shepherds, because there's only one shepherd of all shepherds, and that's Jesus. And so some of those not shepherds could be self, right? Is that not in our day and age, not one of the biggest shepherds out there for us to follow is me? Like what I deem necessary, what I like, what I want, how I want to support, how I want to fix, how I want to make, how I want to fight for, how I should get, how I should work for, how I have earned, me, I've done it. And so a shepherd that's present today in our world is this shepherd of me. Me doing it, myself, my wants, my desires, my longings. That I'll follow after, that I'll go after, that I'll run after, that will protect me, that will provide for me, that will do for me. And I think that I find peace. I think that I find sustenance. I think that I find nourishment. I think that I find rest in that, all to know that there's no way that I can shepherd or be what only God can. Maybe some not shepherds also in your life would be that of a spouse. How we find our everything in that other person. how we trust in their protection, their providing, their doing for us, a spouse, a significant other. Maybe that's a not shepherd that you run after and follow because they can't be for you all that you need. The way, just some marriage advice real quick. This is another talk for another day, but we got some time, right? We don't know where to be. Like she can't be for you all that Jesus has said that he can. And on the flip, he can't be for you all that Jesus says that he can. We can't do it. Like I am a crummy God. You are a crummy God. You can't be and you can't do for yourself. So hear me. If you put all of your weight and all of the eggs in that basket that they're going to be, that they're going to do, that they're going to make happen, they can't. We crumble at the weight of that. I mean, I cannot be for my wife all that God said that he is. There is no, and the moment that she begins to shift her eyes or her focus to that, it's misery. It's horrific for her. And the same for me. If I look to and I depend on her to be and I rely on her to be something that God has never set for her to be, she is not a good God. She is not a good shepherd. I am not a good God. I am not a good shepherd. Those are horrible things to follow after or to rely fully on. Self, spouse, maybe family, maybe friends, maybe job. Maybe it's the job where you think that you find peace and comfort and sustenance and provision and all of these things that the shepherd has promised that he would give and do in life abundantly. Maybe that's the place. I mean, there are tons of things out there that are buying for our attention and our affection and our heart and our eyes to turn to and follow and rely on and lean in on that will leave us empty and in need. Empty and in need. And see, that's where Jesus says here in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And look at what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What is that? It's a reference to the cross. This shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds that we're talking about, the Lord is my shepherd. David, who says this, the one that is my shepherd, your shepherd, he's there. If you'll believe and walk in, he says that he is going to lay down his life for his sheep. And what does he do? He does that, doesn't he? As he goes to the cross, as he lays down his life, as he becomes the sacrifice of all sacrifices. So he's the good shepherd and he lays down his life for his sheep. And the way that we become a sheep of his fold is through faith, is relationally walking in faith with Jesus. Because look in verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves and the sheep flee and the wolf snatches them and scatters them and he flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. That shepherd could care less because he's not the shepherd of all shepherds. But he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know him? Do you know the shepherd that I'm referring to here this morning? The shepherd of all shepherds. And I want to be careful, because not just do you know him, because that's kind of like we're in the South, right? Yeah, everybody knows. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, man, oh, woo! But I'm talking about, like do you know him on this level? Not know some stuff about him, but you walk personally and intimately with him that you care for and desire and have relationship with him. Not just know, yeah, man, John 3:16, I know that. Yeah, Jesus wept, I got that one there. In the beginning, I know that one a little bit. Yeah, I know something. Yeah, he did the walking on water thing. Yeah, this bread and fish trick that like not knowing some stuff about him, but knowing him. Knowing him as the shepherd, as the sustainer, as the abundant life giver. Like do you know him that way? Because when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's not just a shepherd. I just don't know some things about the shepherd, but he is mine. Like I personally, intimately know this shepherd. Like I'm in the field and I know he's got me. He's there. He cares. Like he calls me by name as we see here in John 10, and I hear it and I follow. He goes before me to protect me. He comes behind me to encourage me. He is all encompassing around me to guard and protect and to do for me what I can't do for my. I know the shepherd. Not just know about him, but I know him in a way. Do you know him that way? Not just about him, but do you know him that way? And he goes on to 15, he says this, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, that I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock, one shepherd. I mean, this shepherd is not just content with a few sheep. This shepherd wants sheep like crazy, and he goes after and he cares for. And he desires, and he shows, and he proves, and he calls their name, and he gathers them. I mean, that's what I love about the shepherd. That's what I love about the reality of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just mine, but he is longing and wanting and going after more sheep. More sheep. And so who is your shepherd? I mean, truly, who is your shepherd? I mean, there's only one good, true shepherd, right? All of these other things I've mentioned or alluded to, I mean, who is your shepherd? One true shepherd. And the only way for you to be his sheep, to be a part of his flock, to be a part of his pasture is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's through faith in him and the redemptive work that he has accomplished on the cross, taking our sin and our shame upon himself. And so the thing that I just find interesting about this is here in Psalm 23, David writes from the perspective that he's very, very familiar with, right? David was a shepherd. He gets it. So when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he knows exactly what he's saying. But the thing that I find interesting in this is that he does not say or equate himself to being a shepherd like God is a shepherd. Instead, he puts himself in a different place, right? He writes it as if he is a sheep of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, which would let us know that he's not an equal, that he's not right there, that he's not just a shepherd among shepherds, but the Lord is my shepherd, which would mean that David is up under the shepherd. David is being cared for by the shepherd. David is a part of God's fold, is what this would let us know and speak into. That David is a sheep of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. And so just taking a quick poll of the room, gauging of the room, how many people hung out with any sheep this week? Didn't think so. Me either. So what did I do? I dug in and I looked up some things about sheep because just trying to catch up on my non-sheep knowledge. And this is what I found out about sheep. And I just want to press you this morning to listen closely for just a second. The reality of how sheep are. Did you know that sheep have really no sense of direction? Is some of the things that I read and saw this week. That sheep, they just don't have a big keen sense of direction, like where they should go, where they should be traveling, what they should, they just don't, they're just kind of there. Like I was reading a story this week, and there's a story kind of in another country, and it was set, and there was these three shepherds who were bringing their sheep together, and there were like over 2,000 sheep, and they bring them, and they kind of put them in this field, and there's a cliff over, by the way, and they bring them to this field, and as they have them there, they kind of step away for a second to eat. And as they step away for a second to eat, one sheep who has no sense of direction decides, hey, I'm going to venture this way. And so what does it do? The one sheep starts to venture, and so other sheep see that sheep venture, and it's like, hey, it's going, maybe I should go. And so what happens is that one sheep starts to venture close to the cliff, and it gets close to the cliff, and you know what that sheep does? That sheep just walks right off the cliff. And you know what the sheep behind it does? It walks right off the cliff. And the next one, we get to be 400 sheep deep going off the cliff. And the shepherds realize what's happening, and they come running back. It was said that it was estimated about $75,000 worth of sheep that were gone. No sense of direction. No understanding of the moment and what's going on. And so they just wander off, and they just go. Something else about sheep is that they're defenseless, right? I mean, they don't have claws. They don't have real sharp teeth. They're just not vicious little animals. Again, they'll make a great sweater, but not a fighter. And so they're defenseless, really kind of helpless in that sense. And that's just what a sheep is. That's how it is. And did you know that a sheep can't get up without help? Like if it falls over, it needs help to get up. That it just can't just like jump back up, or just it needs help. Did you know that sheep are weak? Like you can't load them down a lot. I mean, they can carry a little bit, but you can't load them down a lot, or they'll break at the pressure. They can't carry heavy loads. They're just unable to. They weren't built for that. Did you know that sheep, they'll settle easily? They'll just kind of settle for the moment, or settle for the situation, or settle for what? I mean, they settle. They're really unable to truly care for themselves. They're easily to be content. Meaning, if they were to be thirsty and there'd be a dirty mud puddle here, they would drink the mud puddle instead of walking 10 more yards to get to the clean, fresh water. That they settle easily. And so as I read this and as I looked at this, as I thought about this, I'm like, dang. See any parallels here? With us? With the heart of man? So as David pins this, as he says this, he's referring to himself as a sheep. And how true are these realities about sheep, or their characteristics about sheep? I mean, left on my own, I have no sense of direction. I don't know where to go, what to do. And I'm not just talking about jumping in a car and going. I'm talking about just life in general. I mean, no real purpose, no real direction. Just enjoy the moments the way that I would live if I didn't have a greater calling and purpose in my life. One to kind of direct me and help me. Defense is like y'all that know, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. Like I'm not vicious. Like I am not. I'm from the mountains of West Virginia, and I've got like some tricks and stuff like that of the trade. But I'm like, I'm not. I mean, if we get in a fight, like you're gonna beat me. I'm just not like a like UFC style. Like you will wear me out. I'm just not. I'm talking about even like the women in the room would just beat me up. And you think you could take me? You could. Let's just be honest. Yeah, I'm a little bit afraid. But no, I'm not. I'm defenseless. I mean, if I get knocked down, I can't get up without help. I need help. And I'm not talking about physically. Yeah, I mean, I can get up off the ground. But I'm just talking about in life. I'm just talking about in general. I'm just talking about, I mean, blindly follow. I will, left to myself, I will run after whatever seems to be like awesome in the moment. Weak. I can't carry heavy loads. I mean, I'm puny and pathetic, and I can carry a little bit for just a moment. Again, and I'm not talking about physical weight. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about things that really matter. Settle easy. Yeah, that's me. I'll go with it. Unable to care for myself. Absolutely. And so as I read, as I looked up this thought and the reality about sheep this week, and I see this David referring to himself as a sheep. I mean, David's not that. He's not that stuff, but he recognized and understood who he was. Especially as he laid himself before the shepherd of all shepherds. He saw that and he knew that. He knew his need. Church, that's us, and it's quite all right to be in that. The problem with today is that not many people recognize and realize that's their condition. I would even venture and argue that probably even within the church. No, you don't. That's God. I worked hard for that. You may thought you have worked hard, and you may have worked hard. But there is a shepherd overseeing and taking care of. Like there's other people out there that's worked just as hard as you, and they haven't. Why? Because God's got a plan and a purpose, and he's doing for his glory, for our good. God is working and doing. And he has us in different places, and he knows, and he cares, and he's working in. And we need a shepherd. I need a shepherd every moment of every day. And there's one that is available and it says, I want you to be my sheep. I want you as my sheep. So that's what David is saying. The Lord, Creator God, is my shepherd. I belong to him because I'm a sheep that is in need every moment of every day because I can't. I can't apart from him. And then I love how he closes out verse 1. He says, I shall not want. And so what this does here is it just speaks to the fact that the shepherd is aware and knows that his sheep have needs. He knows that we have needs. There is nothing that we shall want that is good or needed because God is aware of and God is making that need met. That's what he's doing. Now, I know there'd probably be like some tension in that statement, and so I wanted to make sure and kind of clarify for us what I mean, because there's a huge difference between want and need, right? Like I've got three boys, 11, 7, and 3, and like right now, the thing that my 3-year-old says, he needs everything. He needs a sucker. He needs chocolate at night before he goes to bed. He needs he needs this stuff. And my fear is that's kind of how we are as the sheep of God's pasture. No, God, you don't understand. God, I need this. God, I need to have this happen. God, this situation that I'm in, I need it to stop. I need it to subside. I need it to go away. I need to have this promotion. I've got needs in my life, and I need. And I believe the problem is like we're like my 3-year-old. I know I am. God, are you not aware of this? I have this need. God, come on. You're my shepherd. I know you're my shepherd, and I have this need. But we've got to understand the difference between needs and wants. Because there's a great difference. And God sees and he's aware of our need. And he works in such a way as to meet it. Maybe not the way that we think that he should. But as the shepherd of all shepherds, the way that he meets and the way that he does is in a way for his glory and for our good. Even though in the moment we may not see it and understand it and appreciate it, but one day we'll get to the place where we can look back and we can be like, ah, that's how he did it. Because I would venture to say that David, if you'd have asked him if he was going to be a king one day, not a chance. I mean, he's the youngest of all the brothers. That doesn't bode well for him. And then what does God do? God prepares him and God uses his circumstances and situations to elevate him and get him to the place that he needs him to be, that he wants him to be. And all of that happened in his life was preparation for the day that he took on the giant. And the shepherd was working and doing and preparing for him. So as the band comes back up, I want to close like this. I was studying and reading and ended up talking to a friend this week, and we're just chatting about the psalm, and he told me that he was reading this book in the Psalms, and how we read this is a way we just kind of lackluster, and we just miss it, and we don't fully read it in the way that it was originally instructed for us to read it or for us to get it. It's one of those things that when we read Psalm 23:1, hey, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Which is great news, right? When we break it down and we look at it like that and we kind of understand it in that way. And I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, he's my shepherd, man. I don't have wants. I mean, he's supplying all my needs, taking care of. He's doing and working in a way that even though I don't see it right now, I mean, yeah, he's my shepherd. He's my protector, my guider, my sustenance. He's my everything. And so he said, as we were talking, he's like, we kind of read it like that. And that's good. But I don't believe it was meant to be read like that. He said, so in this book that he was reading, it's kind of the way that David says is a little bit different. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want it. Maybe a way to read it would be more like this. The Lord, God, creator, say, he is my shepherd, the God of the universe. Man, he's my caretaker, my provider. He, the God that spoke the universe into existence, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at all times. He is my shepherd. He is mine. I belong to him. I'm a sheep in his pasture. I am his and he has me. I'm the sheep that can't take care, can't do for myself. And I've got a shepherd that can because he is mine and I belong to him. And then when the thief comes or the difficulty comes or the struggle comes, it can do nothing to me because the shepherd is there guarding and protecting and taking care of. And by the way, this shepherd that I belong to, I shall not want. There's nothing that I have a need for. Nothing that I have a need for that I don't have because he is aware and he is working how for my good and for his glory. You see how that kind of reads a little different? You see how that kind of sets a little differently? You see how when you understand and know who the shepherd is, what he's capable of, and what we're not as the sheep, and how we are in desperate, desperate need of every moment of every day. And I don't care how awesome and great and mighty and strong and smart you think you are because you're not. I'm not. We are not. And left on our own, we will wander over to the cliff and fall off every time. Fall off to our death every time. And but there is a shepherd who doesn't take breakfast breaks, doesn't take lunch breaks, doesn't take time off and vacation. There is a shepherd that I belong to that knows and cares and walks with regardless. And that shepherd is one that says he has got a flock to go after, sheep that are not yet his, that he is calling and wanting and going after. And so my question for you is, do you know that shepherd? Do you know the shepherd of all shepherds? Not just, do you know a little bit about him? Not just, yeah, I can say some things, or yeah, okay, Scott, what's your, but like what I read here, Psalm 23:1, he is God, he is my shepherd, my God, he's mine, I belong to him and he belongs to me. He has got me. Do you know that shepherd? Or have you settled for a fill-in? Because if you settle for a fill-in, it doesn't end well. If you settle for a fill-in, they're going to take breaks. Those needs that are there are not going to be met, or not even going to be known about, or not even going to be cared about. But this shepherd, he will. Only one good, true shepherd. Only one way to be his sheep, and it's through his son Jesus. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what God's spoken to your heart. I don't know what he's stirred in your heart. But what I know is this, is that my prayer for you this week, my prayer for me this week, is one to be reminded of that good shepherd and what he has done and accomplished for me, for us. And if there be one here that's not yet a sheep of this shepherd, a part of this pasture, a part of this flock, man, that God would, that you would hear him calling this morning. That you would hear him saying, man, I want you. I want you so much so that I'm going to lay down my life for you and show you that and prove that to you. And so, I don't know where you're at. Don't know what God's doing in your heart. But what I do know is this. I'll be down here. And if you'd like to talk more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to make him your shepherd, what that looks like through faith, man, I would love to talk more, love to pray with, love to do whatever I could. And I am super excited as we start to walk through these next verses of what this shepherd does. Because it's going to seem a bit crazy at times what he does. But we need to understand something. We need to understand who the shepherd is first before we look at some of the things that he does and allows to happen and works through in the midst of. We need to make sure we've got footing with who the shepherd is. Because if we don't have that, when we start to read through this, it'll be very, very difficult. But there's nothing to worry about, nothing to fret over, because we know who the shepherd is. We know what he's doing, what his heart is toward his sheep. So Father, I pray this morning that it would work and move like only you can. Father, if there be one here this morning that don't know you, God, man, how awesome would it be today, would be the day that you call their name, God, that you speak their name and they hear you. Your sheep hear you. And so Father, I pray that. I pray that ears would be able to hear, hearts would be able to hear, that if they're not yours, that what that call sounds like, and they would hear your voice and they would respond. And Father, for those of us in the room that are yours, God, that we would rest assured in your working and in your doing. You know where we're at. You know what we got going on. And Father, you're in the midst of it with us, preparing and doing and working in such a way as to bring you glory and to bring you honor and to be good for us, to mature us, to grow us, to shape us and mold us. So Father, work like only you can.